just followed. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And a very brief explanation of it we have in Lord's Day 51, which is the fifth petition. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is, be pleased for the sake of Christ's blood not to impute to us poor sinners our transgressions, and nor that depravity which always cleaves to us, even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is a firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. This petition, beloved, occupies a very natural and logical position in the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer. It follows the principle announced by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, that the natural is first, and not indeed in importance, but in order of time, and that the spiritual is next and follows. Hence, the petition for daily bread is first, and the petition for the forgiveness of sin follows. If we don't need daily bread anymore, we do not need the forgiveness of sins anymore. Besides, the petition concerning our deliverance from evil follows the petition about the forgiveness of sins, because justification is before sanctification and is the basis of the latter. And now I'm going to speak on this fifth petition, the Lord willing. And I was going to speak on this petition under 3 points, as usually. And my 3 points that I wanted to speak on are these: the meaning of that petition, the ground of that petition, and the possibility of that petition. But last night and this morning, I somehow felt burdened with a very serious message to you, in connection with this 51st Lord's Day and this fifth petition. And because of that, beloved, I'm going to cast logic to the wind. And speak first on this possibility of praying the Lord's Prayer, of praying this fifth petition. And then on the meeting and then on the ground, although perhaps I'll still split that first point and get the last part of that possibility in my last point. I do this, as I say, because there is a very serious principle involved and a very serious message in proclaiming the truth of this fifth petition. That truth or that principle is to my mind very beautifully expressed in the explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism in the last part, where it says that we pray this petition even as we feel this evidence of thy grace in us, that it is a firm resolution from the heart to forgive our neighbor. You understand, that is the explanation of the last part of this fifth petition. As we forgive our debtors. Now you understand very well, beloved, that our forgiveness of the brother cannot possibly be a prerequisite in any sense for God's forgiving us our debts. If that were so, the thing would be absolutely hopeless. And not only so, but God has blotted out our sins. Long before we were born. And the sins of the whole church and the blood of Jesus Christ. And he also sovereignly by his Holy Spirit applies that forgiveness to our hearts. And yet, here it is. If we want to pray and forgive us our debts, we must be able to add to that prayer, to that petition, a declaration. You understand? This last part of the fifth petition is not the petition, but is a declaration on our part. And we must be able to do that serious. Serious? Very serious. Because if we cannot declare this, that is, O God, I from the heart forgive my brother. If we cannot principally declare this, we cannot ask and forgive us our debts. And if we cannot pray for the forgiveness of our debts, we cannot receive forgiveness. And if we cannot receive forgiveness, God does not blot out our sins. And if God does not blot out our sins, we lost. We are reprobates. Understand that? We go to hell. That is the seriousness of my message. You don't have to quibble about conditions in regard to this prayer. Well, that's all right, never mind. But the thing is far more serious. It's so serious, beloved, that on this petition really hinges the entire possibility of praying at all. He hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness. Especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden where he was bound that we might be free from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed to the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, that we might be accepted of him, of God, and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his mercy, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness toward you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty soul. If he cannot say this, if he cannot say, I have in my heart, I feel in my heart the grace of a sincere resolution to forgive the sins of my brother, you cannot pray any of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Not at all. The whole Lord's Prayer hinges, that is, the possibility of praying this particular petition hinges, praying the whole Lord's Prayer hinges on this declaration. Our Father who art in heaven, you cannot say that. If you cannot say this, I have in my heart the sincere resolution to forgive my brother. If you try to approach your Father in heaven without your brother, you cannot possibly be admitted. And the attempt to get into the sanctuary, the Lord will simply rebuke and say, thou hypocrite, what have I to do with thee? The sinners you cannot say, hallowed be thy name, because that Father in heaven would again say, thou hypocrite, thou dost not mean to have my name hallowed, for thou hast hatred in thy heart against the brother, if thou canst not forgive. The serious, thy kingdom come. Oh, you can say that if you say this too. Our Father in heaven, thy kingdom come. Because I have a sincere resolution in my heart to forgive the brother. But if you have not, your Father in heaven will say, you do not want the kingdom to come, and you cannot want the kingdom to come, because in the hatred of your heart you go to hell. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But your Father in heaven will say, it is my will that thou forgive the brother. You do not want to do my will. Hypocrite, go away from the entrance of my sanctuary. I cannot receive thee. Give us our daily bread. You have no right to have daily bread. Not if you do not forgive the brother. For then you are a wicked reprobate. And I do not bestow my blessing, even a bread, upon the wicked reprobate. You steal bread, as I said last Wednesday night. And so it is with the petition that follows. Deliver me from evil. Our Father in heaven, deliver me from evil. You do not want to be delivered from evil. Because you cannot receive the forgiveness of sin. Understand how serious that is, beloved? And therefore, the Catechism is correct when it explains that second part of this fifth petition as meaning, I feel in my heart thy grace. Because that's grace. I feel in my heart thy grace of a sincere resolution to forgive the brother. How beautifully that is expressed, beloved. Hence, if you cannot forgive the brother, you are a reprobate. That's also evident from the parable of the unmerciful servant. Don't forget that unmerciful servant was a reprobate, very evidently. He was a wicked reprobate, and the Lord hangs up the picture of the wicked reprobate in order to warn the people of God that they do not for any moment walk in the steps of that wicked reprobate. And that is a wicked reprobate is evident from the fact that he will never get out until he has paid his debt, and he can never pay his debt, so he's lost. The wicked, man and the parable of the unmerciful servant is lost. He's wicked, he's reprobate. And the Lord often does that, beloved, in Scripture. He hangs up the picture of the reprobate in order to warn his people because of the sin that is still within them and not to walk in the steps of that reprobate. Now then, beloved, the seriousness of my message is this, that I want to direct my message this morning to that little principle of grace in your hearts, in order that my sermon may provoke and evoke that principle of grace in your hearts, whereby you have a sincere resolution to forgive one another. I proceed from the fact that I'm speaking to the church of God. I'm not speaking to reprobates. I'm not speaking to unbelievers, although I know very well that there's carnal seed in the church. I'm not addressing them. I'm addressing you, people of God. And I'm addressing you, therefore, as those that have this grace in their heart, this particular grace, understand? The grace of the sincere resolution to forgive one another. You have that in your hearts. And when you pray this, you therefore are able to declare this. Are you able to declare when you ask the Lord for forgiveness, thou knowest, O Lord, that I have in my heart the grace which thou hast implanted in my heart, have a sincere resolution to forgive the brother? You feel that in your heart? If you don't, that's the seriousness and the antithesis of my message this morning. If you don't speak about conditions. The reprobate cannot fulfill any conditions. You cannot either. But remember, if you really don't feel that grace in your heart, whereby you have a sincere resolution to forgive the brother, you are lost. That's the thing. But you do, don't you? Really? Examine your heart. Don't you feel in your heart that grace? That grace that you have a sincere resolution to forgive the brother his trespasses, don't you? You see, beloved, that is necessary because you cannot divide grace. You cannot divide grace. If you don't have this grace in your heart to forgive the brother, you don't have any grace in your heart. Don't you see that? You cannot separate grace in pieces. If you do not have the grace in your heart to forgive the brother, you have no grace at all. And then I say once more, then you're lost. You're reprobate. But you aren't, are you? In the second place, beloved, that is so necessary. It is so necessary that we declare this statement before the face of God, and that we're able to declare it as a possibility to forgive sins, because the forgiveness of sins, or rather the prayer for the forgiveness of sins, is rooted in the very deepest sense in the love of God. You pray for the forgiveness of sins because you love God. In principle. Because, beloved, when you say, and forgive us our debts, and then you really say to God, oh God, I'm sorry after thee. I'm sorry after thee. Not after the world. The sorrow of the world is quite different from the sorrow after God. There's a certain sorrow of the world sometime, beloved, when they become too involved in the consequences of sin. They are sometimes sorry, probably ask the Lord to deliver them from the consequences of sin. A man is sometimes afraid of hell. A man is sometimes afraid of the wages of sin, but that is not the sorrow after God. The sorrow after God, beloved, is rooted in the love of God. And therefore, when you ask, oh, please, Lord, do not impute unto me my sins. Do not be displeased with me because of my sin. Do not be wrathful with me because of my sins. I cannot stand thee to be wrathful with me. I cannot stand to be the object of thy wrath. That's in that petition. Or positively, you ask, oh Lord, give me grace that I may taste thy favor. Thy favor, O Lord. Please, let thy favor be upon me. That's in that petition. Sorrow over sin. And sorrow over sin is sorrow after God. And sorrow after God is rooted in the love of God. And therefore, beloved, you must be able to say, I have a sincere resolution to forgive the brother, because if you do not forgive the brother, you do not love the brother. And if you do not love the brother, you do not love God. You hypocrite, you do not. You reprobate. And therefore, when you say to God, please God, forgive us, forgive me, let's make it personal for a moment. That's not the meaning of the petition, but let's make it personal for a moment. Forgive me my trespasses. Then you at the same time say, I love the brother. And that love of the brother is at least, that's the least you can do for the brother, manifest in forgiving his sin. At least, that's the least you can do. The series. You have the grace in your heart, as the Catechism expresses it, of the sorrow after God. Then you have the grace in your heart of the forgiveness of your brother. The two can never be separated. The love of God and the love of the brother are principally the same and identical. And therefore, beloved, once more, you cannot pray this petition unless you declare that you have that grace in your heart. That's serious. One more reason why you must pray this petition with the declaration, and it is that you must pray this petition in the plural. In the plural. After all, I know that I often have petitions for the forgiveness of sins, which I make very personal for myself. And by the way, there is no petition that I can pray better than this. And the next one. There's no petition in all that I can pray better in all my life than this particular petition. Because I know how great a sinner I am. And I know how great a need I have day by day for forgiveness. And I also confess to you that I have a sincere resolution in my heart to forgive the brother. Can you? But as I say, there are times when I want to pray this petition very personally. Very personally. There are sins that I may own, but that are not yours. As a preacher, I have sins that bother me sometimes that can never be yours. And so you have sins that are your own. And I'm sure if you know yourself, you will have times that you do not pray and forgive us our debts, but that you very personally pray and forgive me.
Forgive me.
This and this and this and that sin. But there's something else. The Lord nevertheless means to teach us that when we pray this petition, we must take the brother along. And forgive us our debts. All the brethren. Take all the brethren along to the throne of grace. Otherwise you cannot pray this petition. And beloved, suppose you have at least not the principle of this grace in your heart. Would not the Lord say when you come without the brother, and when not only you come without the brother, but you refuse to forgive the brother his trespasses, would not the Lord say, thou hypocrite, thou askest for forgiveness of sins, and wouldest not even forgive the sins of thy brother? That is impossible. Go, leave the entrance of my sanctuary until thou canst forgive the brother. Now the rest of the petition itself, I'll come back to that a moment, as I say, at the end of my sermon. But I wanted to bring this serious aspect of this petition and of this truth before you this morning. I thought about it last night in bed, and I thought about it this morning, and I thought that's the way I'm going to present this sermon to the congregation, and I cast the outline and the logic to the wind. Because after all, this is more important than anything whatsoever. And therefore, once more, I ask you, do you have this grace? Do you feel that you have this grace in your hearts? Have a sincere resolution to forgive the brother. That's of God, of course. That's not of you. Nothing of you. It's all of God. God gives grace, and God works prayer, and God gives forgiveness. It's all of God. But do you have it? Then you can ask and forgive us our debts. Otherwise, you cannot. The forgiveness of debts of sin is very plain. I want to make a few remarks yet about the contents and about the ground. In Matthew, we have the word debts also in the original. In Luke, you have the word sin also in the original, both in the plural, debts and sins. And the idea is that a sin is to miss the mark, and to miss the mark deliberately. And the mark is the love of God and the glory of God. And if we miss that mark in our life, in any way, that's the meaning of the second word that's in Matthew, that's also in our Lord's Prayer here. If we miss the mark, then we are in debt. We are in arrears with God. And to be in arrears with God is hopeless, because we can never pay any debt with God. We are obliged to do that which God demands of us from moment to moment. We are obliged to love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength every minute, every second of our lives. And therefore, When we run back, when we run in arrears, we can never pay any debt. That's impossible. And therefore, when we are in arrears, God is just and righteous, and His wrath is provoked because we have not kept His commandment, and because we have not loved the Lord our God with all our heart, and therefore we are children of wrath and we are lost. That is the meaning of the contents of this petition. And now this petition really prays for this, beloved. Lord, Father in heaven, please cancel the debt as far as we are concerned, so that we have no more consciousness of thy wrath, but of the consciousness of thy favor upon us. Besides, do not overlook the fact that in this petition, the word for sins, for debts and for sins are in the plural, not in the singular. Forgive us our debts, not forgive us our debt. Forgive us our sins, not forgive us our sin. That means to my mind, especially two things, and maybe three. It means certainly that our sins are many, in the plural, many. Our sins are more than we can count. They are more than the hairs of our head. Every day, every moment. We sometimes speak of sins of omission, beloved, but that's really nonsense, because there are no sins of omission, because we cannot be neutral. Sins of omission are also sins of commission. When we say, have omitted to defend the name of the Lord, that omission is itself a commission, a transgression of the name of the Lord our God. Don't forget that. But let that be. Many are our sins, day by day. Our sins prevail. They rise up against us, day by day. All kinds of sins. And all these sins, as they rise up against us, must be blotted out from our consciousness, even as they are blotted out in the cross of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we have no peace. That is the meaning of the prayer, forgive us our debts. Blot them out. Oh, it means, of course, let them not be in the mind. Dismiss them. Dismiss them. That's the word for forgiveness in the original. Dismiss them from their mind. Not as if the Lord could forget the fact, but dismiss them as guilt. Dismiss them as causes of their wrath. Dismiss them from their mind and from their heart. And also dismiss them from my own consciousness, please. Dismiss them from my own consciousness. So that there is nothing between me and thee. That's the forgiveness of our sins. Forgive our sins. Dismiss our sins from thy consciousness, O God. Dismiss my sins as sins from my consciousness, that I may be the object of thy favor. That's the meaning of the petition. But there is something else. When sins and debts are here put in the plural, the meaning is too, beloved, that we should never confess our sins and pray for the forgiveness of our sins in the abstract. Oh, it's so easy to say we are totally depraved. Oh, it's so easy to say, oh God, we're so totally depraved that we can do nothing good and are inclined to all evil. Beloved, that is not the question. You better go to God and say, Lord, I confess my sin and I ask forgiveness of my sins, of my debts, the sins of my mind and the sins of my will, the sins of my consciousness, the sins of my malice, the sin of my evil, the sin of my hatred, the sin of my pride, the sin of my conceit. Mention the sins. Much better. And sins of my tongue, the sins of my slander, the sins of my evil speaking, the sins of my boasting, the sins of my lying. Tell the concrete sins to the Lord. Much better, much healthier. Easy to speak of total depravity, that means nothing. But put the concrete sins before the Lord, also before your own consciousness. That's what is meant by sins. Oh, then there are many sins in your life and walk. Oh, examine yourself and examine your walk and bring the sins before the Lord. That's what's meant by the plural. Forgive us not our sin in the abstract, but very concretely our sins and our debts. That's the meaning, beloved, the contents of this Lord's Prayer. There's one more thing. Almost forgot that. And that is that the Catechism also mentions the depravity of our nature. Also, for that we are responsible. And you must be sorry for the depravity of your nature. You say, perhaps I cannot help that. No, you cannot. Not individually, but God holds you responsible for the depravity of your nature in Adam. You must be conscious of it. You must not rebel against that, but you must say to God, "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry, I'm so depraved. Forgive the depravity of my nature. Forgive the sin that cleave to me. Blot them out and cleanse them." All, of course, all that forgiveness is based on the ground of the blood of Jesus. Thus stands the reason. You know, there are people that say we should not pray for this. You know that the dispensationalist and so on, they say we should not pray for the forgiveness of our sins because our sins have already been forgiven. You cannot pray for the forgiveness of our sins because they are blotted out. And when you say to them that nevertheless the Lord taught us to pray this in the Lord's Prayer, they say, yes, but the Lord's Prayer was taught the disciples before the crucifixion, before the blood of the cross was shed. But after the blood of the cross is shed, you cannot pray for the forgiveness of sin anymore because the sin had been blotted out. Oh, what a terrible conceit, and what a terrible mistake and a terrible error that is. So terrible that I cannot understand how a child of God can ever reason that way. Because I would reason just exactly the other way, beloved. Because I know that there is forgiveness with God. Because I know that my sins are blotted out in the blood of the cross. Because I know that Christ has obeyed to the full and paid to the full for all my transgressions. Therefore, I am assured that I can and that I may and that I will and that I must pray for the forgiveness of sins. Oh, I have need of it because the Lord forgives my sins and blots out all my sins. That does not mean that I must not ask Him for it. When a child knows that his father and mother will forgive him, that does not excuse him from asking for forgiveness. So I cannot live as a child of God without the prayer for forgiveness. I cannot have peace without the Lord hearing that prayer, and you cannot. And so we can dismiss that question. But on the ground of the blood of Christ, on the ground of his satisfaction, on the ground of his perfect obedience, on the ground of the fact that he atoned, fully atoned, that he took all the sins of the elect as the Son of God, as the blameless Lamb, as the representative of his people, and bore them away. That is the ground for my prayer. And forgive us our debts. Impute not my sin unto me. And wash the consciousness of my sin away from my very heart. And now, beloved, I return to the first point once more. Do not overlook the fact that you have in this petition the statement, as we forgive our debtors. We pray, our Father in heaven, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Not if we forgive our debtors. That would be impossible in any prayer. I know very well that the Lord says also in this conclusion of the parable, if you don't forgive everyone his brother his trespasses, my heavenly Father will do it unto you as that unmerciful servant. Perfectly true. Because then you're reprobate. Then you're reprobate. But nevertheless, in a prayer, you could not possibly put it that way, because you stand before the face of God. But you can say, and you must say, as we forgive our debtors. That is, in the same way. Oh, it is a faint picture, of course, a faint picture, but nevertheless, in the same manner that God forgives us our debts, so we forgive our debtors. What that mean? It means, beloved, that the Lord gives us that grace of forgiveness in the way of prayer. Of course it means that. There is no other way, as we have stated when we discussed the necessity of prayer. There's no other way. The Lord does not stop the forgiveness of sin or any grace down our throats. He wants us to ask for it in order that we may experience the sweetness and the wonderfulness of his grace. Of course. But in that way, we must also forgive the brother. That is, beloved, if the brother does not want forgiveness, if he does not ask for forgiveness, you cannot get rid of forgiveness. Don't you see? No more, reverently speaking, that the Lord will get rid of forgiveness if one does not ask him sincerely. Ask and it shall be given you. So one cannot get rid of forgiveness to the brother unless he asked him. That means, in the second place, that when we ask for forgiveness, we are penitent. We are sorry. Sorry before God. So also, if the brother comes to you in penitence, is sorry for the offense he has committed against you and expresses that sorrow, then you can forgive, not otherwise. In the third place, beloved, God forgives completely. He does not say to us, oh, I'll forgive, but I will never forget. Nor must we say anything like that to the brother. I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. That means a threat, beloved. That means a threat. The Lord forgives abundantly and completely. His mercy is without end. And finally, it means, in close connection with that last, that God forgives us our sins without number, without end, not only completely, but we never come to God, no matter how often we have sinned, and how often don't we. And what is worse, beloved, how often do we not commit the same sin over and over and over again? So over and over that we are almost ashamed to ask the Lord to forgive us once again. Is that right? Do you have that experience? I do. Yet, no matter how often we repent, and no matter how often we pray, and no matter how often we approach the Lord, He forgives abundantly and freely. So we must forgive. When Peter asked the Lord, how often must I forgive the brother? 7 times, he thought that was quite generous. The Lord says, I say unto thee, not 7 times, but 70 times 7, that is, without end. Be ye therefore perfect. That's my application, if you wish. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Amen. We thank thee, O Lord, for the preaching of thy word applied unto us, that the grace which thou hast wrought in us may be evoked and may grow through that preaching, through the means of preaching, and that we may walk before thee in truth and before one another as brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.